Austin 316 says I just whipped your... Sit there and call yourself the gorilla, yet you hee-haw out here like a jackass.
What?
I said, shut up. You can kiss my ass.
Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya.
What?
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold sets up.
Welcome to the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast, the career of Stone Cold Steve Austin. This week is episode 132, Physically Provoked. We are covering July into August of 2003. I'm Mike Prue, along with JV, as always. JV, we're back at it. It's been a while. I think I'm already out of breath. guys, we were out for a while, obviously, hiatus. A two-week hiatus. It's been 2 weeks since our last episode 131, The Fire Burns Within. And what happened was the fire really did burn within because I started to get the night sweats and feeling like shit and ultimately realizing that I had COVID. I tested positive for COVID, and man, it beat the fuck out of me. And I was physically provoked by COVID over the course of the last couple weeks, and I'm at the point now where, like if you saw on Twitter, at Bottom Line Cast, I posted, all right, I'm feeling well enough to get back into the recording. That I'm not even sure of either. So, you gotta bear with me. Not going to be totally myself, but I'll do the best I can. And, you know, we'll get into some Stone Cold Steve Austin. But, yeah, kind of weak. But yeah, JV, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I mean, I had my scare because I was for contact tracing.
Yeah, because we went to Monday Night Raw in Providence on November 1st. And then I went to work on November 2nd. That's where I took a rapid test. So I let JV know right away. Tested positive. And JV put himself into quarantine, too. And he's good. You're all good.
Yeah, I was negative.
Yep. Took good precautions and played it safe. But yeah, man, there was no way that I was going to be able to do these episodes over the course of the last 2 weeks. I've been fucking isolated in my own house, which is a smart thing to do with two kids and a wife.
Yeah, you don't want to get your family sick. Even right. If it's like the flu, like you don't even want to get your kids sick with that stuff.
Yeah, and I don't want them to, like my wife, to be having to miss more work because I've been out of work. I'm still out of work.
Yep.
I've been out of work since I had to leave during the middle of work. I'm like, all right, you gotta go. They like walked me out of there, like get the fuck out. You could go. And I was like, oh shit, I guess I'm just going home. So I went home and I haven't been back to work yet. And I think I will within the next couple of days. Man, it's been a long journey going through this. So not fun. I'm sure many of you have experienced it too, or know people that experienced it. You know, usually it's one thing to be like, oh, I tested positive. A lot of people are fine because I tested positive before too and no problem. It was just like, all right, let me just stay away from everybody. But this was like sick, like life altering sick. Like I'm like thinking of, like I'm changing things about my life after this. That's how I felt like just sitting there like thinking.
You gonna go back to running and everything?
Oh, yeah. Once I can get my breath again. You know, that's even an issue right now, just talking. So, yeah. So that's why we've been out, guys. So we'll try to get back on track with this, and we'll be back at it again, continuing the story of Stone Cold Steve Austin in the summer of 2003. So we're going to get to that in just a minute. But before we do, please follow us on Twitter again, at Bottom Line Cast, and follow me, Mike Prue, at MPRU83. Follow JV at John Van Damage. And if you can, for an old and young sickly man, please take the time to write a 5-star review. It helps with my body's algorithms to make me feel better. Positive enforcement. You know, and really bring my spirits up and get me going again. Get the juices going.
Yeah. Might I legally require to edit in a COVID disclaimer now?
I don't know. Oh, fuck it. It's not going on YouTube or anything.
Yeah, I'm just joking.
But yeah, put up a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts to bring me back to the genetic jackhammer that I once was. All right, so that's that, guys. Like I said, we left off episode 131, Fire Burns Within, and Kane is a madman. You know, he's back to being a big monster, and he's burned JR. Burned him up. JR wiggling around, set on fire on the ground. That's where we left off. And we're going to pick things up. We're going to cover Raw through July, late July into August. And I'm going to kick things off first with Raw 530 from July 21st, 2003. It's live. Oh, sorry. It's live, and it's on Peacock, Season 11, Episode 29, and it was in Los Angeles, California. So this would be one of their big shows. You know, L.A., whenever they go to L.A., they try to put on a big show, just like when they go to Madison Square Garden. Let's make it a big to-do. The WWF is here in the big city. So we're going to start off with the promo, and we're not going to play audio for this one, but I'll just run through the information. So we kick off. Eric Bischoff is in the ring. And he's got a nice suit on. He's finally not wearing that dumpy-ass leather jacket that he's been wearing, which makes him look frumpy.
Yeah, it does.
Hasn't he looked frumpy and shitty?
Yep.
Yeah. I think it's just his choice of clothing, because he has the suit on. It's like, oh, shit, Eric Bischoff looking slick here. You know, looking fit. So maybe it's just a nice suit sometimes can just really do it for you. So Eric's down in the suit, down in the ring with his suit. Bischoff says that Austin's run as co-GM is finally going to come to an end. Bischoff says that he and JR were never friends, never been friends, but no one deserves to be set on fire. Bischoff says that JR being set on fire by Kane is the direct result of Austin's arrogance and negligence. And then at that point, Eric is interrupted by some shitty-ass music. It's like, what is this music? This is not familiar. But then, here she comes. It's the CEO, Linda McMahon. She's back. So that's why Eric's all dressed up. He wants to impress his girl, his old lady.
So that was the music they played. I wasn't sure if it was edited in.
Yeah, they played some shitty music because they had been using the WrestleMania theme.
Yep.
Yeah, that shitty-ass theme. So that's gone. But now there's some kind of like generic techno music. It's like, what I mean by generic techno music, I don't mean like popular techno music, like generic in the sense that it would be used on like a Warner Brothers show, like the Gilmore Girls, like during a dance scene, or like Dawson's Creek at the school dance. It'd be like this fake techno music. You know what I mean? It's like, nobody sings this. Nobody's ever played this. But all these kids at this party are loving this music that nobody's ever fucking heard. That's what it is. You know, it's stock music, basically. But that's what they have Linda McMahon coming out to. So Linda heads into the ring, grabs a mic of her own. Eric says that he's glad to see her, and Linda cuts him off right away. Like, no bullshit. Linda wants Eric to listen up. Eric, you're wrong. Stone Cold Steve Austin is not responsible for Kane's actions. Kane is responsible for Kane's actions. That just made me cringe because I knew the words were coming. And from her voice, like, ah, I know what's coming, and she's going to say exactly what I think she's going to say, and I have to hear it in the voice that I know she's going to say it in. And she did. Kane is responsible for Kane's actions. Like, all right, Mom. Fuck. So, Linda says JR has not pressed charges against Kane. Why? Why, JR? What the fuck? How about there's no choice in pressing charges? He committed a crime.
Yeah.
That's... Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Oh, the cops show up. You want to press charges? No. That's not even a question. You fucking arrest the guy. And that's it. And he has to face charges. Like, can you really do that? Like, just say no? Nah, I'm not pressing charges again. I mean, I guess you could. Fuck,
I don't know. I think you can. There was an incident in Chicago where they were like two gangs.
Yeah.
That got into like a beef, and like people died. There were like guns involved and shit. And they were like, they didn't want to press charges on each other because it was like a mutual something. There was a weird word. And like the prosecutor or the DA for the city of Chicago was like, well, you know, they said it was like mutual. So yeah, we're not going to pursue charges either.
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah. Well, I guess
that's
you fact.
Could. Yeah, that's, I mean, unless the news was lying to me.
Yeah. I guess that does make sense. I am kind of loopy right now. No fucking no.
Well, I don't know. Back see, you and I had talk. A domestic dispute. They were like, oh, no, it's squashed. We're good. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Charges me. Or could,
no, like, yeah.
The DA could, or whoever, like, who is it? The DA? Then, like, for the benefit of, like, society, could press charges or something?
Maybe.
Depending I know nothing about law, clearly.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on. But yeah. I just thought it was weird. Like, oh, he's not pressing charges. Okay. Well, just arrest the guy anyway. What's the problem? Yeah. So anyway, Kane's on the house arrest. So he's on the, so I guess he is arrested. He's on the house arrest. And he's been ordered to go under extensive psychological evaluation. Linda goes on to say, but house arrest doesn't prevent Kane from earning a living and coming to work. Oh, everyone's shocked. Linda announces that Kane will be here and compete against Rob Van Dam tonight. And everyone's like, okay, yeah, great. But too bad, just moments before this, you know, right before the opening here with Eric coming out, they announced this match. They had a graphic and everything for it. Kane versus Rob Van Dam. They said it at the top of the show. And Linda's out here making it like a surprise. Like, oh, Kane's here. Yeah, we already know. They already said the match was happening. So they fucked that up in the opening. So Eric says that, you know, that's a great idea. And he didn't mean to go on a rant about JR being set on fire. Because this is about Stone Cold Steve Austin. Austin getting fired. So why don't we get him out here? Let's get right down to it. Then Austin's music hits and interrupts Bischoff. Austin heads down to the ring. He's got a new shirt on. I think he may have had it on last week, but we didn't mention it on the last episode. And it's the Fuck Fear shirt. So it's the fuck, but it's not the U, it's the skull. So it looks like Fock. Fock Fear.
Yeah, yep.
Fock Fear. You know, this is coming out 2003. Maybe this is early. I'm thinking Meet the Parents, you know, Fokker, Gaylord Fokker. Was that 2004 or 2003, Meet the Parents?
2004, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 04. But if it was 03, that would have been perfect. Like, it's like the Fokkers, Fok.
Meet the Fokkers, yeah.
Yeah, Meet the Fokkers was a few years after that. Right? Yeah, the sequel. Yeah. So anyway, he has that Fock Fear shirt, and he got the skull for the U, as I said, and then on the back, it says, drink beer. So it's Fuck Fear, drink beer is the slogan. So pretty cool shirt, badass shirt. And this would go on to be like one of his last shirts, his last big shirt, his Fuck Fear shirt. You know, the only thing that I don't like about it being a collector of figures is that they'll never have the figure of that shirt. You know, that won't be coming with any of the figures, Fuck Fear. Won't be buying that at Target. It's unfortunate. They should make a special one.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some, like, fan that can make you one.
That's true.
That probably does, like, modeling.
Yeah. But then I'd have to pop a figure out and then put it on. And yeah. I'd rather just not.
Yeah.
If it's not authentic, then it doesn't really mean much to me, you know?
I'm the same way. I agree.
Like, I don't need custom shit because it's not real. It looks cool, whatever, but it's not really worth anything. It's a one of a kind, only it's only yours.
Yeah.
Special to you. So anyway, we move on now to a promo. So Stone Cold's down, so we're going to take a listen to what Stone Cold has to say in the ring with Linda McMahon and Eric Bischoff. So this is a rather long one, and I need the break. I mean, the way we edit these, I don't actually get the length, the time of the audio for the break, but I feel like I need it, and it's going to be an 8-minute clip, so take a listen to this, and we'll be right back after that.
Hey, he started all this. He's the one that turned Kane back into a monster. You know he did. Oh, boy.
Monster,
Linda, I'm going to come out here right now. I'm going to tell you face to face. Stone Cold Steve Austin ain't going to apologize for anything I've done as co-GM of Raw. I ain't going to apologize for nothing. Every single decision I've made, I stand behind that decision because I thought that was the thing to do.
Well, he's not backing down.
Do you have a problem with that? Shut up. If JR don't want to press charges against Kane, that's fine with me. That just means that when I get that sumbitch out here tonight or wherever, I'll beat the sumbitch to death the way I want to do it. JR ain't got to press charges. Stone Cold Steve Austin will whip Kane's ass.
You see what I mean, Steve? You see what I mean, Linda? That's exactly the kind of attitude that has got you in trouble with Linda McMahon. That is exactly the kind of attitude that is going to get you fired here tonight.
Right, Linda?
Wrong, Eric.
Wrong. Wrong.
Eric, I never said to you that I was coming to Raw tonight to fire Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I knew we never should have believed it.
What I said was that I was coming to Raw tonight to address a problem in the general manager's office, and I don't like it when you put words in my mouth like that.
Well, he didn't mean to, I'm sure.
Eric, however, gentlemen, we do have a problem in the general manager's office. See, Steve, you chose a career path to be a general manager, and you've done a good job. A general manager accepts responsibilities for his actions. You've done that. A good general manager works to create an exciting product for all of our fans. And you have done that.
He's done that.
But Steve, the problem is you can't go around beating the hell out of all the other WWE superstars. And that's where the problem lies. So if you're going to remain as general manager, you cannot put your hands on anybody anymore.
Whoa. That's a tall order.
You hear that? It's over!
Unless you are physically provoked.
Uh-oh.
There's a small print. A little shoe on the other foot action.
So, Steve, you got to play by the rules, and the rules for everybody, especially for Kane.
So what you're trying to tell me is if I see fit to beat the crap out of Kane, then I lose my job as co-GM of Raw. That's what you're telling me.
Yep.
Well, then I guess I got a lot to think about.
Wait a minute.
What do you mean he has nothing to think about?
Steve.
Is it a lot to think about?
Just bear in mind that if you step down as general manager, co-general manager, I'm not going to look for replacement. I'm not going to have any choice but to turn total control of Raw back over to Eric Bischoff.
Wow.
So, you want to stay on, you got to play by the rules. But it's up to you, Steve. What's it going to be?
I don't think anybody wants that man, Eric Bischoff, in charge of everything again.
I'll think about it.
Well, I can give you just about a week to think about it. But given all of the tension that's going on tonight and the feelings, I think it's just best if you took the rest of the night off.
Oh, look at Bischoff. Look at that smile.
Do you hear that? Mrs. McMahon man has just given you the rest of the night off. So why don't you get the hell out of my ring? In fact, I'll sing you out of my ring.
Sing him?
Na, 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 na.
Oh, no. Oh.
Na, 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 na. Now, come
Does
on,
this
Johnny.
Constitute hey, physical hey, provocation? Hey,
goodbye. Na, na, na.
Here's y'all singing solo. Comes,
wait a second.
Be careful, Linda.
You know, Eric, I think it's a good idea. Why don't you take the rest of the night off, too?
What?
No, that's not what was supposed to happen.
I don't think your services are required here any longer this evening.
Bischoff's off
nah,
for the
nah,
night.
No, no, no. No, no, no. Hey, hey, hey. Good.
Eric Bischoff has the night off. Stone Cold Steve Austin has the night off. But King, how is Stone Cold
well,
Steve Austin
you don't
Austin
need me for the rest of the night. Give me a couple of damn beers.
Wait a minute. He can still
Give
drink
some more beer. One more beer.
It's the only time he should drink beer when he's not working.
Well, there you go.
A beer from America's greatest beer drinker.
Oh, it looks like I got a lot to think about, and if this is my last night as co-GM in this ring, thank you for the memories.
Oh, no. No.
What is so cool?
Look out, Linda! Look out, Linda!
Tomatum. No yeah. physical contact, no attack, or he's out.
Oh, come on. Do you think for 1 minute that the rattlesnake can control himself? You know, you think we'd see the last of Stone Cold Steve Austin here tonight? Come on, give me a break, coach. Beware of that rattlesnake. I can assure you.
All right, so Austin heads into the ring. He grabs a mic and approaches Bischoff and Linda McMahon. The crowd is chanting, Austin, Austin, Austin. And then Austin tells Linda McMahon that he's not going to apologize for a damn thing he's done as co-GM of Raw. Austin says he stands by all of his decisions. Austin turns to Bischoff. You got a problem with that? Shut up! Doesn't give him a chance to say anything. Just shut up! I love that. Don't even give him a second. Austin says he has no problem with JR not pressing charges against Kane. Austin wants Kane here in the building tonight so he can beat Kane to death. Like, geez, that's pretty extreme. And this is when Eric jumps in, rightfully. You know, this is his spot where he can be see what I mean? See what I mean, Linda? That's his attitude. Exactly the kind of attitude that has gotten him into trouble. That's exactly the attitude that is going to get you fired here tonight. Right, Linda? Right, Linda? So Eric's just trying to push that to Linda. Fire his ass. And Linda responds, wrong, Eric. The crowd loves it. Linda continues on to say that she never told Eric that she was coming to Raw to fire Austin. What I said was I was coming to address a problem in the general manager's office. I don't like it when you put words in my mouth like that, Eric. So Linda says there's a problem in the office. Linda says that Austin has done a good job as GM and creates a product that appeals to the audience. And she goes on, but Steve, the problem is you can't go around beating the hell out of all the WWE superstars. I'm glad she acknowledged that because that's something that we talked about last episode.
Of ours, yeah.
Right, it was him just beating everybody up and making everybody else look like shit. So it's good that they brought it up, and it is part of the story that Austin is doing this, and he's not going to be allowed to do it anymore. So, cool. So Linda tells Austin he's no longer able to put his hands on anyone anymore. So Eric's all excited. You hear that? And he's all excited. Linda cuts off Eric again, annoyed with him. And then she puts in the final stipulation. Austin is no longer to put his hands on anyone unless physically provoked. So Austin can beat the hell out of somebody if they touch him. If not, he can't do anything. And going ahead, this is going to make for some good segments throughout the summer. But anyway, Linda cuts off Eric, continues, says, unless physically provoked. Linda tells Austin that he has to adhere to the rules, and they especially apply to Kane. So basically she's saying, you can't touch Kane. Don't fuck with Kane. Austin clarifies with Linda that he's gonna be fired as GM if he beats the hell out of Kane. And Linda's like, yep. Austin says, well, I have a lot to think about. Linda tells Austin that if he steps down as co-GM, she's not looking for a replacement, and she will give Eric Bischoff total control. So now that makes Austin think twice, like, ah, shit, give that asshole all the power? So he still has something to think about. Linda says, if you want to play ball, you got to play by the rules. So what's it going to be, Steve? Austin says he has to think about it. Linda gives him a week. He has a week to think about it, and he should take the rest of the night off. Eric's all excited. Yeah, yeah, take the night off. And then Linda goes right back at Eric. I'm giving you the night off, too. So she gives him the night off. But before all that, anyway, Eric's all excited yelling at Austin. Linda just gave you the night off, so why don't you get the hell out of here? And I'm going to sing you out of my ring. Na, 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 na. Fucking Vince McMahon's favorite song. Anytime somebody has to leave, this song has to come up. Na, 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 na.
Yep.
Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. So Austin's pissed. Linda tells Eric that he's going to take the night off too, like I said. Now Austin then turns to the crowd and then turns it on Eric Bischoff. So Eric Bischoff thought he started it, but now it's all turned around on him. And the crowd's chanting, na, 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 na to him. Get the hell out of here. So Austin calls for some beers. He gives one to Linda. Austin says he has a lot to think about. So obviously he's got to drink a lot of beers to think about it. Says, if this is my last night as GM, thank you for the memories. So Linda takes a weak-ass sip of beer. Austin chugs his, rolls out of the ring, catches three more beers.
She drinks like all the foam.
Yeah, that's it. She just drinks the top of the...
It's pathetic.
Yeah, that's it. Shithead. So anyway, Austin takes his beers and heads up to think about what he's going to do. And then we go backstage a little later. It's Stone Cold and Eric Bischoff. This is just a one-minute clip, so take a listen to this, and we'll be right back.
You satisfied?
You satisfied?
No, I'm not. This is not what I had planned at all.
What do you mean, what, this is not what you had planned? You were crying to Linda McMahon.
I didn't cry to anybody. She saw what was going on. I am not. She saw what was going on.
What was going on?
You got us here.
I got us here. I'm motivating people. You just want to make this damn place a better place to be.
Motivating people to set other people on fire. Good move, Steve-O.
Oh, yeah. Like you're some kind of genius?
Yeah, I am a genius. If you would have followed my lead a little bit, maybe we wouldn't be out in the parking lot while everybody else is in there.
Oh, I guess you're going to take a Monday Night Raw to new heights, just like you did WCW.
You're damn right.
WCW went out of business.
They were bought.
Out of business.
They were bought.
Out of business. What a punch in the damn mouth,
sissy.
Oh, Eric! No!
All right, so backstage, Austin and Bischoff run into each other. Austin is sweating like a motherfucker, too. He's sweating like I was sweating, you know, before I realized I had COVID. That's how bad it was. And that was one of the telltale signs, too, is I had a meeting, you know, with one of my bosses.
Yep.
And I'm in the meeting. You know, so we're talking about, like, evaluation shit and whatnot. First period, you know, first thing in the morning. So I'm there, and I'm, like, talking to him, and I'm just, like, sweating. And I don't know why the fuck I'm sweating. Like, was I up too late? Because I didn't sleep well. Because I was having, you know, sleeping problems. Having fucking night sweats and shit. So I'm there sweating, dripping. And I feel, like, all embarrassed. Like, I'm fucking sweating like a fucking pig here right now. I was like, dude, I'm sweating my balls off right now. He's like, let me open a window. That, you know, and then the next day is the day that I realized I had it. So I fucking, that moment on Monday morning, I should have been not even there. But yeah, so I was sweating like a motherfucker, and Austin's sweating like a motherfucker here big time. And anyway, they both ask each other, Austin and Bischoff, you know, if they're satisfied with Linda's decisions. And Austin tells Eric that he's motivating people. Eric tries to tell Austin that, you know, he's doing a bad job by influencing people to set other people on fire. And I love Bischoff's line after he sticks it to Austin. He goes, good move, Steve-O.
It's so cocky.
So Austin and Eric bicker about being left out of the show, and Austin questions Bischoff about being this big genius. Eric responds that Austin should have followed his lead over the past few months, and they wouldn't be on the outside looking in. Everything would be good. And Austin responds with the Snyder remark about, oh, you know, I should have listened to you because, you know, sorry. Austin, my voice was becoming more like Austin. I was getting a little gravelly there. So anyway, Austin was responding with the snide remark that he shouldn't have been listening to Eric because of, you know, how he was going to take Monday Night Raw to new heights, just like he did with WCW.
I love that.
So he's sticking it to him like, yeah, there is no WCW anymore, motherfucker. So anyway, Eric defends himself. He goes, well, you're damn right. We would have. And Austin says, well, WCW's out of business. Then Eric rightfully defends himself, though, and says, they were bought. Like, I wasn't even there. They were bought.
It's true.
Right? Then it fell on his watch.
We're trying to make history that. Eric's, right. Like, correcting history. Like,
right. Right. He's like, you're not going to fucking make me look like shit in this story. WCW was bought. I wasn't even there. So anyway, they go back and forth. Till Eric walks away. Austin sneaks in, I gotta punch you in the damn mouth, sissy. And Eric was just trying to defend himself. And I'm kind of on Eric's side here. Austin is like all bitchy here. And just sneaks that in there like an asshole. Ah, punch you in the mouth, sissy. Like, Eric didn't do anything. So Austin continues to pile it on. Austin calls to Eric as Eric's just walking away. Austin pegs him off, flips him the bird. So they're not getting along. They're both pissed off that they're not being able to exercise their powers on the show this week. And they got to go home. But before we go home with this episode of Raw, we got the main event match results. We got Rob Van Dam versus Kane. And there was a poll. And the poll was, should JR press charges against Kane? So that was the website poll. Like, what do they have? Nothing else to do. Like, all right, we got to get the people on the website so the ads and shit can come, you know? Had to be some motivator like that.
Yeah, you know, that makes, yeah.
You know, click on that.
That makes sense.
Right. So they get people to go to the website and help their ad buys out. And we get 62% say yes, JR should press charges against Kane. I would have clicked yes, too, at the time. So anyway, Kane comes out. He has his badass entrance, and this is a real badass entrance, like, not just his music and whatnot, but he comes out, and it's like, damn, this guy's a monster. He's brought to the ring by police escorts, he's chained in shackles like a monster, and then when he gets to the bottom of the ramp, the police remove the shackles, like, you have different cops removing different parts of his chains and shackles, and then they're removed, and Kane enters the ring. And the crowd loves it. They're totally into it. He's over like a motherfucker here. And this is just making Kane look even better. Like a babyface. So they're going to have to do some things to remind the crowd that he's a bad guy. Because they love this look.
Of Kane. Yeah, because it's fresh for them. It's
right. Yeah. Right. And it's like version 2.0. New, like the new monster Kane. And this one's cool because, we said we didn't like not having a mask, but now there's something scary about seeing his face. You know, because he does look like a fucked up guy.
Yeah, the fact he keeps the towel over his head and shit, you know.
Yep.
There's some good theatrics behind it all.
It's like Michael Myers with no mask. He's still fucking scary because you know what he can do.
Yeah.
You know he can fucking pick you up with one hand and stick his fingers through your eyeballs and shit. Anyway. Sorry. So RVD is going to come out here, and RVD runs to the ring, and He takes it to Kane to start the match, and they fight outside of the ring, and they never return to the ring. So that's it for the match for the most part. Kane brings RVD to the top of the ramp, which was the same area that Kane chokeslammed Eric Bischoff off of. And Kane's going to knock out referee Nick Patrick at the top of the ramp. And Kane sets up to chokeslam RVD off of the stage, just as he done with Eric Bischoff. Then Arn Anderson and some referees run out to try to stop Kane. RVD fights back briefly. Kane clotheslines RVD, slams RVD headfirst into the entrance set like a fucking dot. And then Linda McMahon comes out, and Kane gets in her face. Kane knocks out Arn Anderson and John Laurinaitis, who's out there now. Linda's scared shitless. Kane grabs her by the throat, picks her up, but then Jerry Lawler comes from commentary, runs over to save Linda, and punches Kane. So Kane got attacked by his old guy back when he was Isaac Yankum. Jerry Lawler was his main guy. The guy that brought him in.
Shit.
For the like kiss my feet match with Bret Hart.
Yep.
But now Lawler is here to defend Linda McMahon. So he punches Kane. Kane lets go of Linda, but then he fucks up Jerry Lawler. Linda's crawling on the ground. And Kane grabs her by the back of the head, picks her up, gives her a tombstone pile driver. Linda McMahon takes a tombstone pile driver. What a fucking sport. So Kane then just walks off. And I'm thinking, okay, all these referees, Arn Anderson, John Laurinaitis, they all came out. But what happened to all the fucking police officers that came to the ring with him? Where do they go? So they just unshackle him. All right, you can earn your pay now. You can do your job. And we're just going to go run away. You know, Kane goes into the ring for literally like 2 seconds and then just starts fucking everybody up outside of the ring. Not even in his match. The match is over. Cops are gone. He's assaulting all these WWE officials. Cops are nowhere to be found. That doesn't make any sense. They should have been right back to fucking lock him up again.
Yep.
Chain him up. They should have been chaining his fucking shackles back on him.
Like all this precaution and then...
Right. Then no precaution. Then they're just gone.
Just fuck it.
Right. The show should have ended with all those cops back out, like trying to get the chains back on him, and Kane just like, ugh, or whatever, you know? That is a way to end the show. Not just, oh, let me just do whatever the fuck I want and walk off. So that's what he did. So now we got a monster on our loose, I guess. And that will conclude Raw 530 from July 21st. And JV's going to pick up the story, and we'll see where it goes from here. Let's see if they found Kane and see what happens from here. But somebody's not going to be happy about Linda McMahon taking a tombstone.
Oh, no.
So that'll be good. So JV's going to take it away with Raw 531 from July 28th, 2003. JV, take it away.
All right. Thanks, Prue. Yes, we're in Colorado Springs, Colorado for this episode, and this one kicks off with, so who would be mad, you know, pissed off that Linda McMahon got tombstoned by Kane? Well, it'd be Mr. McMahon, and he's here to cut a promo right to kick off, you know, right at the beginning, kicking off the show here. So Mr. McMahon's here, and this is the first time we're going to see him since Vengeance, when he ended up with 16 stitches in his head. Now, was Vengeance the night before this?
No, Vengeance wasn't the night before this.
All right.
Wait, because... Vengeance? Because we covered Vengeance.
Yeah, well, I think they messed up on commentary, because I thought I heard Lawler, or no, Coachman say, we haven't seen... Vince McMahon since last night on Vengeance when he got 16 stitches in his head. I was like, huh?
But oh, wait. Maybe there was. Yeah, keep going. I'll just look something up.
All right. But it was weird. It was weird that they said it because it's like, well, it was fucking yesterday. Why even mention it?
Yeah. No, because McMahon hasn't been on Raw. We haven't seen him.
Because of SmackDown.
Because he's on SmackDown.
A brand split. Was Vengeance a SmackDown pay-per-view?
Yeah, Vengeance was the brand.
Oh, okay.
SmackDown brand pay-per-view. So it was... So
that makes sense.
Let me see. Make sure it was the night before. Yeah, it was. July 27th. Yep, so it was the night before, and apparently Vince McMahon got fucked up.
All right. So that makes sense. So Vince McMahon says he's here for one reason only, to avenge what Kane did last night to his wife, Linda. Vince wants to confront Kane tonight, not because he's a good husband, because everybody knows better than that, which I thought was a funny line. Vince calls Kane an animal, and even though he's on house arrest, he's demanded that the authorities bring Kane to Raw tonight, where Vince will meet him face to face in the ring. And Vince goes on to guarantee that all hell will break out tonight.
I like that.
Me too.
It's always great when Vince comes back to like spice up the show, liven it up a little bit.
Just especially when it's short. Like his couple minute promos are always money.
Yeah, I love the short ones. It's just like a little kick in the balls, basically.
Yeah.
Get this fucking show started.
When they're long and he has like, you know, he has too much time to talk. He says he's known to say things that just don't make sense or like very dated.
Yeah, yeah.
Like jokes.
No, this is just enough because it's to the perfect point. It's like, yeah, we're gonna fuck things up here tonight. So cool. All
right. So from there, we're gonna head backstage, and we're gonna be with Eric Bischoff, and he's gonna be with security, like a security team. So he's backstage with he's talking to one of the security officers. I'm assuming it's like the head guy, for the detail that's there tonight. So Eric Bischoff asks for confirmation from the head of security that the detail team that's been hired has experience in dangerous situations before. So he wants to make sure these guys are well-tested, well-rounded, because Kane's coming, and Kane is fucking nuts right now. So the officer goes on to confirm that they do. You know, he says, basically, he's like, oh, we understand this ain't a training video. He says something like that. So Eric approaches the detail, you know, the crew, and informs them that that van that's outside the arena, that van is holding Kane. So he then instructs for the garage door to open. So the garage door opens, and a van, a white van, starts backing down. So it's backing in down the ramp. The windows are tinted, so you can't really see who's in the van. And, you know, van pulls up, it stops, and Eric says he doesn't want anybody to open that door. He wants Kane locked inside until he gets word from Vince McMahon himself. And then at that time, Eric Bischoff will then give them the word to open the door. He asks them if they understand, which they do. And Eric closes with, I hope so. So they're really playing Kane off as like they're really playing off the supernatural part of his character and being just like fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Very like Michael Myers-esque.
All right, it is. Mm-hmm. The funny thing, though, is the security team would probably be like, fuck off, buddy. We got it under control. We're the fucking experts here for security. Don't be telling us shit. This is the same guy that fucking ran amok at the end of last week's episode. You had no control. Shit.
Yep.
We have control. We have him in our fucking van, not your van.
And now you're so concerned about Kane after right. You let all the cops go home.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, Raw goes on. It does its thing. And then we come back about a half hour later back to that same, you know, backstage area in the garage. And we got Eric Bischoff. And he's with security again. And we're back at the van. So security, they go to open the back doors. So it's like, you know, typical, like, I don't know what kind of vans they're called. Like a conversion van type deal.
Yeah,
transport van.
Yeah.
And it's got the double doors. So they go to start opening the doors. And Eric runs over and asks, hey, what the hell are you guys doing? So the guard says, well, we wanted to give Kane some air. But Eric doesn't give a shit, rightfully so.
It's like a Bang Bus van.
Yes, that's what it is. It's like a Bang Bus. Perfect. That's what it is. It's a white one. But Eric's pissed. He doesn't fucking care, which, not for nothing. He told the security, like, when to open the fucking door. And they're just like, oh, we got to open up, let him breathe. Like he's not getting any air in there. Like, he's fucking right. Dying.
Fucking put the AC on.
Yeah. Yeah, no shit. So Eric doesn't give a shit. And Eric makes a comment. He's like, what do you guys think? I'm the head of the ACLU? Eric says, this might be cruel and unusual punishment,
by their standards, but they've never worked for Mr. McMahon. And as long as Mr. McMahon wants Kane to suffer, that's what everyone is going to do.
So Eric goes on to basically start questioning Vince's judgment and rationale and even bringing Kane here tonight. But, you know, he concludes that, hey, you know, that's Vince McMahon's decision and we're going to fucking do what he says. So in closing, Eric tells security that they will not open that door again until me, Eric Bischoff, tells you to do so. So clever there. I mean, kind of good writing just to give it a reason to go back and check in on Kane. And you see how fucking...
I mean, that's what they're going to do throughout the episode, basically. Is just build up the suspense of Kane getting out of that van eventually.
Yeah, it's very well played out throughout the episode, for sure. So, you know, Rago does his thing. There's like a match or some shit. We come back and we got Eric Bischoff. And we're back at the garage. And Eric's all frantic. He's happy. He says to the security detail that he just got word from Vince McMahon that it's time to release Kane. So this is funny now. So these guys have tasers that shoot electricity, not lasers.
Yeah.
And throughout this rest of this segment, Eric Bischoff is going to fuck up. He's going to call them laser guns, tasers. He's going to say they shoot out lasers. So what I'm saying is exactly how he said it. So I wrote it down the way he said things. So Eric tells security to have their laser guns ready. And he wants to see nothing but tasers on Kane all the way down to the ring. Eric tells security to open up the van and let Kane out. But before they do, Eric stops real quick. He goes, whoa, 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 because he's a little bitch. And he backs up and he actually hides behind like one of the security guards. Not like, you know, like he was like, you know, in like a fetal position hiding, but he's just cowering. Yeah, he kind of just like fucking went behind the guy. Yeah. Like, hey, he comes out and goes crazy. You're my fucking shield. So he repositions himself behind the door. Behind one of the guards, and the guards proceed to open the van's back doors. So they open it, and then they open, like, you know, there's like metal stairs that fold in, so they fold those down. And then they open the cage on the interior of the van. So you can't see in the van even when they open the door, because they got to pull down the steps, and then there's an actual cage, like a cell. So they open that up, and then Kane, you see him kind of like, you know, he's crouched over. He comes out, and they have a really good camera angle on this shot because it's like a lower camera angle they took. And Kane just kind of like arises out of it, and he's like standing on the stairs. He's shackled. He shackles at his ankles and wrists. And it's just a cool camera shot. He's got the fucking towel on his head. It's a badass shot. Mm. If you need a thumbnail for the episode, that would probably be a really good one.
All right, good idea.
So Eric tells security to get their lasers out on him. And if he makes one wrong move, that they light him up like a Christmas tree. Meanwhile, you know, just to set the tone, Eric's really pissed off. Kane's really pissed off. He's like breathing a little heavy. He's got this weird like fucking snark on his face. He does. He looks scary as shit here. So now with their lasers drawn on Kane, which are tasers, they walk him to the ring. And that leads us to the confrontation that's been building up for this entire episode of Raw.
So just to clarify for everybody, the officers have tasers.
Yes. Yeah.
And when they target their tasers, it's a laser that puts the target on the subject, in this case being Kane. So, just to clarify that for everybody, is
that they don't shoot lasers.
No, they don't shoot lasers, but it points a laser. Like, that's how when you
shoot, like the aiming, the okay,
right.
So I guess that isn't that weird. I'm thinking of a stun gun.
Oh no, yeah,
I know what they are because I watched this, and they have that they're drawn like guns.
Yeah, so the stun gun is just like you stun.
It just didn't hit me.
Yeah, with the tasers, there's a laser that shows the target.
Not for nothing. I did eat a couple edibles before I did all homework, and I was out golfing all day. So
no, but it still sounds funny from him because he does go back and forth between saying lasers and tasers.
Tasers,
like,
yeah.
Saying, like, I want these lasers on. Like, he was using them mixed up from time to time. So that's what I thought you were getting to. But yeah. He did sound fucking goofy at times. You golfing today?
Yeah.
Nice day. Fucking nice cool day.
Yeah, I went and played 18 with Scotty, Lenny, and Titone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was freezing.
Oh, fuck.
But it was fun.
18, holy moly.
Yeah, that's what I said. All right, so Mr. McMahon, he's in the ring here, and he's waited long enough. And he asks the officers now to bring Kane to the ring right now. So Kane's music hits, which is also fucking weird that he has music. He's like basically like a fucking criminal or something right now. Yeah, and they're like, let's play his music. Like, I get it, but like, you know.
Right.
So Mr. McMahon leaves the ring and meets Kane ringside on the ramp. So Mr. McMahon looks at Kane and says, yeah, yeah. You know, he's like hyperventilating. He's, you know, usually, you know, the usual overworked McMahon. He said, it'd be real easy. It'd be real easy now to beat the living hell out of you, but might be too easy. So now he tells the officers to take the shackles off Kane, which the officers do. Mr. McMahon then thanks the officers and dismisses them. Mr. McMahon's in the ring now. And he asks Kane to get in the ring, too. Kane enters the ring, and now they're face-to-face. Vince goes on to ask Kane, who the hell do you think you are pile-driving my wife into the steel stage and putting his hands on anybody with the last name McMahon without my permission? Which is a good line.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. It was a McMahon. Doesn't matter if he even cares about the person, but it's a McMahon.
Yep. So Mr. McMahon goes on to ask Kane if he's a French fries freak. What does that mean?
I think he meant to say Frankenstein right away and fucked up.
All right, because then he says some sort of Frankenstein.
Like he totally, you can see it on his face that he messed up.
Yeah. I was like, oh, so that's one of his dated wrestling.
Yeah, French fried freak. Yeah. Maybe he just mean like he's a fried, like because he's set on fire or something.
Because he's burnt.
Right. But yeah, it sounded shitty. It sounded like he was not comfortable with what he said.
Yeah, definitely. So Vince goes on to tell Kane that he knows he's a monster. A real-life, remorseless monster. And then he starts to think, well, what would a guy like me, Vince, do with a monster in the palm of his hand? So now, Vince, you can see where this is heading. So Vince's whole attitude changes now. And he says, you know, imagine McMahon and Kane has a nice ring to it, he says. And then, boom, right on cue, we get Austin. Austin's music hits, and he's going to make his way down to the ring. And we have the audio of that for you.
Austin and McMahon. Woo!
Austin and McMahon. So give it a listen, and we'll be right back.
He's here! Just snatched that microphone right out of the hand of Mr. McMahon.
Oh, wait a minute.
What in the world will Stone Cold say in this situation?
More importantly, what will he do? Look at Mr. McMahon. He don't want any problems with the rattlesnake. Whoa!
The first thing I want to say is that, yes, Stone Cold Steve Austin is staying on as general manager.
There it is! Here's the announcement!
Thank goodness!
Which, according to Linda McMahon, means that I just can't go around beating the crap out of WWE superstars when I see fit.
Well, that's what Linda said.
I think that sucks. But unless Stone Cold Steve Austin is physically provoked, I can't lay a finger on a WWE superstar. I accept that.
Uh-oh.
So that being said, I'm out here looking to be provoked.
Oh, boy. Stone Cold Steve Austin's looking for a fight tonight.
Yes, he is.
So provoke me, Kane.
Austin is...
Do something to me.
Oh, boy.
Touch me, hit me, do something.
The look on Kane's face.
Look at you. Your stupid towel, your little black and red trunks. Is that supposed to scare me? Do something. Provoke me. You stupid son of a bitch.
That did it. That did it.
Do something. Do something, you yellow bastard. Provoke me, can't do anything. Lay one finger on me. No, I dare you lay a finger on me. No, 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 I double dog dare you to lay a finger on me. There you go, you getting pissed off? Huh, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? You ain't that stupid. Let me back up. Stay right there. You see this right here? Take your best shot. I'm offering you my chin. Take your best shot.
Look at this.
How is Kane holding his temper?
Hit me.
I don't have a clue.
He's thinking about it.
Do it.
Here it comes.
He's backing up.
Wait a minute.
Kane is backing up.
Please hit me.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
What?
King. What? What the?
All right. So now we got Austin, Vince McMahon, and Kane in the ring. So Vince has his hands up. Basically like, yo, both hands, palms in the air, like, you know, leave me alone. Basically, like, I don't want no beef with you. To Austin. And then as Austin gets a little bit more aggressive in the ring, Vince runs behind Kane for protection. And this time, you know, unlike Bischoff earlier, who wasn't like a little bitch about hiding, he was kind of just trying to be more discreet about it. Vince is kind of like he's got some bitch tendencies going on right now behind Kane. So Austin gets right to it. Austin tells everyone that he's staying on as general manager, and he does understand that he can't beat up superstars when he feels like it. He says it sucks, but he accepts it.
Sucks.
With that being said, Austin says he's out here looking to be provoked, which I fucking love it. I'm glad he was going this route. Like, all right, I can't fuck you up, but I could be really annoying enough to probably get you to try and fuck me up, and then I'm going fuck you up.
This is awesome.
So Austin then gets right in Kane's face, which kind of cool. It fits like the t-shirt, fuck fear, you know?
Yep, good. Good connection there.
Yeah. Austin goes on to say, so provoke me, Kane. Do something to me. Touch me. Hit me. Do something. And Austin's looking really desperate here. He says, look at you, your stupid towel, your little black and red trunks. Is that supposed to scare me? Do something. Provoke me. You stupid son of a bitch. And boom. Kane finally reacts. He takes the towel that's on his head. He tosses it off. Austin continues to apply the pressure. He says, do something, you yellow bastard. Hit me. So Austin goes on to double dog Kane. That's how desperate Austin's getting to fucking get Kane to put a finger on him. So Kane starts like clenching his jaw. And while smiling, he looks like a psycho here. The whole maskless Kane's growing on me, I gotta say.
Yeah.
So Austin says, you getting pissed off? Huh? You understand what I'm saying, don't you? You ain't that stupid. Austin then backs up a little. And now he's gonna outright put his chin out there. So he turns the left side of his chin out to Kane, like, you know, hit me, you know, punch me,
yeah, as right people here. Do.
Right here. So he points to his chin. I wrote chain. Like, I don't know why that's so funny.
Brian Pillman's chain that he gave him?
Right, yeah.
I was thinking like throat. I thought of a Mr. D chains. But no. So he turns the left side of his chin to Kane. And then he points to his chin and tells Kane to give him his best shot. Hit me. Do it. Which made me remind me of the Predator movie. Do it now.
Do it.
Do it. Do it now. So Kane starts backing up and he's shaking his head no. And Austin finally just like, this is funny as you just heard. He's just like, please, please hit me. He said, please.
Oh, I love it.
I love it. I lost it when he said it. Like, he's saying, please. Like, please hit me.
Like, provoke me. Provoke yeah. me.
Then right there on cue, Shane McMahon's music hits.
He's been gone a while.
Which is a big deal because yep. Shane O'Mac has been MIA. So what's the deal here? What's Shane going to do? Is he going to help out Vince? Is he here to fucking, you know, help be a bigger mom. Man than Vince and stick up for his mom? Because Vince is being a bitch.
Yep.
So we'll get right to that. So we got Shane McMahon returning. And he looks pissed. Now, the announcers can't make sense of Shane being here, which I think is stupid because it's pretty obvious why he's here.
Right.
It's not like he's out here in the middle of like a fucking, you know, rosé and fucking hurricane segment. You know what I mean?
Right. It's the same reason. Yeah, hurricane.
These are the people he fucking, these are the people he feuds with.
Is it Rosie shit at this point? Yeah, I think he is. Yeah, superhero in
training. No, he's trying
in
to be.
Training.
Yeah.
SHIT.
Yeah, he's like, come on, man, I'm ready.
Yeah. He's fucking like wearing underwear and shit.
No, he's not wearing that yet, though. He's still wearing street clothes.
Oh, all right.
I think even the next episode that you're going to cover, he's still in street clothes.
Oh.
So, just for whatever reason, every time I went to like fast forward an ad or something, like it was always like that segment. So Shane gets in the ring and he gets right to the point. He fucking attacks Kane. He hits him with a big right, knocks Kane over the top rope to the outside. Shane follows Kane to the outside and starts beating the shit out of him. But Vince interferes and helps Kane out. So he gets fucking Shane off Kane. Yep. So Vince starts bitching at Shane, kind of like, what are you doing? Like, you know, I have this monster in the palm of my hand. So Shane cracks Vince with a big right hand, and Vince is out cold. It's like a nice, that like quick jab, like bang, fucking hits him clean. And Vince goes down, and Vince is like, he's out cold. He looks like a fucking corpse. Like, bring out the chalk. So Shane then grabs a steel chair. Meanwhile, Kane's like up at the top of the ramp. So Shane just kind of like runs up from behind him. So Kane doesn't really see it coming. And he hits Kane once. Then they get to like the closer, like to the actual top of the stage. Hits him again. And now Kane just kind of like backs up to like the side of the stage. Usually like there's like audio equipment and stuff.
Yep.
Hits him a third time. Bang! And Kane is like right teetering at the end of falling off the side of the stage. And then finally, you know, can't keep his balance. Falls off the stage. Off the ramp and through a table over like wires and shit.
So he gets a taste of his own medicine.
Finally. Yeah, which is what we just covered.
Oh.
So everything just kind of came full circle for Kane there.
Perfect.
But he's not down for too long. He sits up, you know, the usual Undertaker and Kane sit up, and just starts smiling and smirking, and kind of like chuckling, like a complete psycho. And that's how the show ends. It's just the fucking picture of Kane, and he's sit up in the upright position and
out of his mind.
Just looks scary.
Right. So they think they got one over on him, like I said, to get his medicine back. You know, they put him through a table, but it doesn't faze him at all. He's just fucking laughing about it like a nut. So Shane McMahon come in here. He's basically going to replace Austin. So, you know, this whole feud... this whole turn of Kane, you know, it's all been about Austin. Austin is the one that kind of pushed him to that edge. But since they know that Austin's not going to be able to wrestle, they have to fucking transition somebody in there that's going to be able to have a longer feud with Kane. Thus, you know, bring in Shane McMahon. So that's going to kind of change the direction of this feud. And now we're going to go from it being focused on Austin and Kane to Kane and Shane McMahon, with Austin just in the background as the co-GM still. But it should be interesting. I remember this from 2003. Or not exactly from 2003, but when I watched 2003 years later, this was one of the things that I was kind of into. I liked Kane and Shane McMahon. I recently saw some people post about it on Twitter, like saying it sucked and shit. But I don't think so. That's not my opinion. But as we're going through this, you know, that's why we're doing this. And we'll see how my opinion changes over time. But I'm into it. Shane McMahon's pretty badass. I didn't really think so at the time. But the years have gone by, and I have a different appreciation for Shane McMahon than I did before. So now I'm just kind of into all of it.
Oh, yeah. So. Like, Shane's only gotten better with time.
Yeah.
Like, his place in, like, wrestling history.
I think I just didn't accept him at first because he wasn't
a typical
wrestler.
Yep.
You know? But now I'm like, yeah, fuck, that doesn't mean shit.
But that guy slowly learned it all the way up.
Oh, yeah. So it should be interesting to see where this goes. And I'll continue things on with Raw 532. And I'll be covering August 4th, 2003. All right, so let me get into this Raw again. It's Raw 532. From August 4th, 2003, on Peacock, it's Season 11, Episode 31, and it's live from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And Shane McMahon is back, and he's going to kick things off right away on Raw here. So let's get right into it. It's a promo with Shane McMahon and Eric Bischoff. Shane O'Mac, like I said, he's back, and Shane says that what he started last week with Kane in the steel chair, he's going to finish it tonight. Shane says he's going to be in Kane's face at every chance he gets. And he's going to make Kane's life a living hell. We got co-GM Eric Bischoff heading to the ring. You know, he's back wearing his shitty leather jacket, shirt, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know if it's a shirt or a jacket. But it's definitely like he went to the mall in the Harley Davidson store and he bought like that leather shirt. You know what I mean?
Yep,
it's a button down, but it's leather. It's not a jacket. Fucking leather shirt. So, Eric gets the asshole chant from the crowd. Bischoff says that he was appalled by what Kane did to Linda McMahon, tombstoning her. And if she didn't give him the night off, he could have stopped it. So he's blaming her. You shouldn't have given me the night off. I could have helped you. Eric says he's still having nightmares about being chokeslammed by Kane. Bischoff says that there's nothing more he would want to see than Shane McMahon versus Kane tonight on Raw. So Shane's like, all right, do it. Make it. Make the match. Eric says he can't do that, though. It's not about what Shane McMahon wants or what Eric Bischoff wants. It's about what Vince McMahon wants. Eric tells Shane that Vince called him and said that Vince wants Kane versus Rob Van Dam at SummerSlam. So Shane's excited. He's like, great, good, good match. But I want Kane tonight. He's like, we know. We just went over that. You want him tonight. Vince wants Kane to have a match with RVD at SummerSlam. So Eric has to, you know, figure this out. Eric continues on and says that Vince made it clear that Shane is not going to get Kane tonight. And Shane has to be escorted out of the building. So Vince wants Shane out of the building tonight. Probably has to do with Shane punching Vince McMahon. So, yeah. So Vince is pissed about Shane punching him. And that's why Shane's going to be out. And the crowd's chanting, bullshit, bullshit. Shane tells Eric that, you know, you're talking all nice and calm. You know, like we're all buddy-buddy. You know, because maybe we've hung out before. But then Shane makes it clear that Eric's a parasite. He doesn't trust Eric Bischoff at all. Shane continues on, you disgust me. I don't give a damn what my dad says or what you say. I'm not leaving this ring. Unless, of course, you want to try and make me. So then they get nose to nose with each other. Eric says, you know, he's going to be the nice guy. And Eric says that he can control his emotions. But if Shane is not careful, he has two words for Shane. Black belt. He's got the black belt, so watch out, Shane. He'll kick your ass.
I want karate gi.
Yeah, karate gi Eric back.
Bring him back.
So Shane's ready to fight. Eric tells Shane to get out of the ring before he gets hurt. And then Shane tells Eric to take a shot. Take a shot. And then Austin's music hits. So now Austin comes out to mess around with these guys. About to go at it with each other. So take a listen. We got a 5-minute clip here. Take a listen to that. And we'll be right back to talk about it.
Austin can't stand Eric Bischoff. What an explosive start. What is going to happen here? What is the rattlesnake doing out here? I think both men are wondering the same thing. What's Austin going to do?
You heard the man, Shane. You heard him. Get out of the ring.
What is right?
Go ahead, get out of the ring. If Eric Bischoff wants you gone, get. You understand what I'm saying?
He sides with Bischoff.
Stone Cold's not exact. He can't be agreeing with Eric Bischoff.
He is.
Don't you understand? This man is a black belt. He's trying to be a nice guy. He says, get out of the ring.
Shane said he's not going anywhere.
Uh-oh.
He'd kick your ass.
Whoa.
Pow! Spinning back kick. Lights out. You ain't got a chance. He's trying to be a nice guy. You're not going to leave? Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, Bischoff is right. He does care about Linda McMahon. He cares very deeply about Linda McMahon.
Uh-oh.
You said that you cared very deeply for Linda McMahon. You know how he goes on and on and on about loving mature women?
Oh, boy.
You know, no, just like you said the other day, big-breasted, mature women like your mom.
Oh, my gosh. What are you doing?
That's what you told me. You're calling me a liar. That's what you said. So you could do what Eric Bischoff says. You could walk out of this ring like a sissy.
I don't think Shane's going to do that.
Then again, since you can't face Kane tonight, what you can do, because I can see you're a little pissed off, is there ain't nothing stopping you from taking out your frustrations against Eric Bischoff.
Wait a minute. What's...
No holds barred match tonight.
What?
Shane wants it. Steve, you know damn good and well there's a lot of things preventing that from happening. I mean, you and I are both co-general managers. You know the rules. Linda McMahon laid them down. We, including yours truly, cannot lay a hand on a WWE superstar, more or less, face one in a match.
Yeah, that's
right.
Is
that right?
That's right, and you know it.
Okay, then let me think about it for a second. All right, I thought about it. Shane, are you a contracted WWE superstar?
Uh-oh.
No.
Uh-oh.
Well, since he ain't a contracted WWE superstar, I see no reason why this match can't go down tonight.
I don't see any reason either.
Oh, man.
Let's do it.
What do you think about that?
Ring the bell.
Ring the bell!
Absolutely not! There is no way! I am not about it!
Wait a minute. You want a match? No holds barred tonight? You're on!
He's on!
All right, then that's it. Eric Bischoff, Shane McMahon, no holds barred match tonight.
Oh, my God.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
King, are you serious?
I can't believe it. I can't even tell you, Coach, how long I've wanted to see this match. This is like a dream match, man. And you know what? You don't have to call your satellite provider. You don't have to call your cable company. This is not pay-per-view. This is going to happen tonight. Live here on Raw.
What a special night. Shane McMahon and Eric Bischoff. No holds barred. Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't believe that Eric Bischoff accepted that match. But that's exactly what Eric Bischoff just did. And I think we can all thank Stone Cold Steve Austin.
The Rattlesnake has outdone himself tonight. Raw. Live tonight, Eric Bischoff and Shane O'Mac. Oh, man.
And Shane looks ready. Oh, what a night this is going to be, King. You talk about great matches.
All right, so Stone Cold headed to the ring. He grabbed the mic. Austin tells Shane, you heard the man. Get out of the ring. So, hey, Austin's in line with his co-GM. Get out. That's what you were told. Get out. Says, if Eric Bischoff wants you gone, get. You understand what I'm saying? Don't you understand? This man's a black belt. He's trying to be a nice guy. He said, get out of the ring. You kick your ass. Pow! Spinning back kick. Lights out. You ain't got no chance. You ain't gonna leave? You ain't gonna leave? I love that. So he comes in like he's sticking up for Eric, but then he's fucking shitting all over Eric at the same time. Pow! Spinning back kick. Lights out. Love that line. So Austin tells Shane, you know, Bischoff is right. He does care about Linda McMahon. He cares very deeply about Linda McMahon. So now Austin just fucking piling it on Bischoff. Austin brings up how Eric goes on and on about loving mature women. Big breasted mature women like your mom.
The balls on him to say that.
Big-breasted, mature woman like your mom. Linda McMahon is, like, low-key big-breasted. She just covers it up all the time.
Yeah, yeah. She wears layers.
Yeah. She probably got some fake ones from Vince.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
Back in the day. So anyway, Eric is getting nervous. What are you doing? What are you doing? Stop talking. So Austin tells Eric, that's what you told me. So Austin's doing a great job just stirring the pot here. Austin tells Shane that he can walk out of the ring like a sissy. And then again, since you can't face Kane tonight, what can you do? Since I see you're a little pissed off, there's nothing stopping you from taking your frustration out on Eric Bischoff. No hold barred match tonight. So Shane's excited. All right, cool. Fucking something. Give me something. Give me Bischoff. Eric says that he's a co-GM, and he can't lay a hand on any employee, according to Linda McMahon's new rule. So Austin turns to Shane. Are you a contracted WWE superstar? Shane responds, no. Austin says he sees no reason why this match can't happen tonight. Eric is yelling about the match and then changes his tune, though. He changes his tune right away. He goes, you want a match? No holds barred tonight. You're on. So Austin makes the match official, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. Austin goes, grabs his beers, crushes one, tosses one to Shane. Heads up the ramp, has a few extra beers for the locker room, and we got our main event, Shane McMahon versus Eric Bischoff. Eric Bischoff, he was hesitant at first, but then it seemed like he came up with a plan, so we'll have to see what that plan is throughout the course of the night. That's what we'll get into now. So backstage, we have Eric Bischoff, and he's with Triple H, of all people. This is very quick. Triple H and Evolution are hanging back in their dressing room. Eric Bischoff walks in. He wants to talk to Triple H. And Eric looks worried. He's out of breath, like I am right now. And Eric tells Triple H that he has a proposition for him. But then we get an abrupt cut to commercials. So we don't know exactly what's going on, but we know that Eric Bischoff wants some help from Triple H. Then, about 7 minutes later, we go backstage again. And Eric Bischoff and Evolution are back there once again. You have Triple H and Flair. They're backstage. They're watching Randy Orton leave the ring from just defeating Big Papa Pump with the RKO. And Randy Orton is now like on this Legend Killer tour. So he's trying to beat up all the older guys now at this point. Cool gimmick. And he had some interference from Test to help him out with that win against Big Papa Pump Scott Steiner. So anyway, they're watching that backstage. Eric Bischoff comes in to talk to Triple H again. Eric asks him, "I gave you a hell of an offer. I need to know. Do we have a deal or not?" Triple H rightfully tells Eric to calm down. Like, "Calm down, calm down. You look like you're about to pee yourself or something. Now calm down. We have a deal." Triple H reassures him, "We have a deal." Eric thanks Triple H. "Don't worry. We'll take care of everything." Triple H tells Eric that. "We'll take care of everything." So we have no clue what this deal is, but there is some deal between the two of them. And then a little later, we go backstage, and Eric Bischoff is talking to Rodney Mack, of all people. And then Austin's going to pop in. So take a listen to that. It's about 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.
He's never going to know what hit him. Rodney, see, that's the thing. You've got to plan ahead. You've got to think ahead. That's the secret in this industry. Take a lesson from me. Steve, you startled me.
Really?
Rodney, if you'll excuse us.
You're excused. What are you so happy about?
Oh, it's... Well, actually, it's that I'm so very, very good at what I do. Yeah. I mean, wait till you hear this. See, in that no-holds-barred match with Shane McMahon tonight, which, by the way, is a stroke of genius on your part.
Thank you.
Well, I made a little deal with Triple H, and I'm going to have Evolution in my corner.
No, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, what's in it for Triple H? And second of all, what other deal did you make?
Well, let's just see.
Behind my back.
It's the art of negotiation. See, at SummerSlam, the World Championship match, Triple H and Bill Goldberg, well, it just so happens that it's now going to be a no disqualification match. So if Evolution happens to come on down to the ring and, as you would say, stomp a Texas mud hole in Bill Goldberg, well, say, Lavi, what do you think?
I think it sucks. And besides that, what makes you think Evolution can stomp a mud hole in Bill Goldberg?
No doubt in my mind about that, and you'll see for yourself at SummerSlam. And as far as the fact that you think it sucks, perhaps, you know, last week, if you'd have come out a little earlier, stepped up to the plate, let Linda McMahon know your status, if you're going to be co-GM or not, maybe there was something that you would have been able to do about it. But the fact is, the match is signed, sealed, and delivered. Bill Goldberg, Triple H, World Championship match at SummerSlam. No disqualification. And you know what else? Not a damn thing you can do about it. I gotta go. Got some business.
See you later.
All right, so Eric is backstage with Rodney Mack. And Eric says that Shane McMahon is never gonna know what hit him tonight. So Eric tells Rodney that, you know, you have to plan and think ahead in this business. So it's basically like Eric's having like a one-on-one meeting with Rodney about the business, you know, trying to help him out, give him some pointers. But anyway, Stone Cold walks in the room. Austin interrupts. Just obnoxious. So Eric and Stone Cold excuse Rodney Mack from the room. Eric starts smiling, and Austin's like, "What are you smiling about? What are you so happy about?" So Eric tells Austin that in the no-holds-barred match tonight, he's going to have Evolution in his corner. And Austin asks, what's in it for them? What's in it for Triple H? What's the deal? What kind of deal is it? Eric tells Austin that Triple H's SummerSlam match against Goldberg will now be a no DQ match. So Evolution can stomp a Texas-sized mud hole on Goldberg if they want to. So that's the terms of the deal here. Evolution is going to be out there at ringside during the no-holds-barred match between Bischoff and McMahon, Shane McMahon. And Triple H is now going to get a no-DQ match against Goldberg at SummerSlam, which is not that great of a deal, because Goldberg can then fuck Triple H up even more, too. But I guess it's because Triple H has Evolution, so they'll be able to interfere in the match and whatnot. So that's the deal. Eric asked Austin what he thinks of the deal. Austin says, I think it sucks. I think it sucks. He says, what makes you think Evolution could stomp a mud hole in Goldberg? He's like, Goldberg probably fucked them up too. Like, did you think about it a little bit? It sucks. So Eric says the match is signed, sealed, and delivered, and Austin can't do anything about it. Okay, so Austin can't change that. So that's the match. It's Triple H versus Goldberg at SummerSlam, no DQ. Eric says, that's the match, that's what it is, you can't change what I did. Austin's like, alright, yeah, that's true. Okay, I can't change that. So that's in the back of his head. I can't change that. Eric says he's got to go. And Austin looks dicked off. And he's thinking about what Eric said about, well, you can't change what I did. So Austin obviously is now going to come up with a way to change something. It's like, yeah, you can't tell me I can't change things. Because I can change things if I want. So Austin is dicked off. Bischoff leaves the room. And now Austin's going to come back with an announcement. He has something to say about this match at SummerSlam. And Austin's going to come out post-match after a match between Ric Flair and Goldberg. Randy Orton's going to run in, nail Goldberg with a steel chair, cause a DQ finish. Evolution's going to come down and beat on Goldberg after the match. Triple H is going to get his sledgehammer from under the ring. It's always there. And Flair and Orton hold Goldberg for Triple H. Triple H rams the sledgehammer into Goldberg's chest. Triple H is about to hit Goldberg again. Then HBK runs in and attacks Evolution. And then from there, Jericho runs in and attacks Shawn Michaels, who he has beef with at this time. And then after that, we have Kevin Nash come running in. He scares off Chris Jericho. And then obviously, you know, if you've ever watched wrestling for a period of time, it starts to smell like, setting up for a match with all these people here. So Austin's music hits and he comes out. Here's the co-GM. He grabs the mic and he has an announcement to make to all these guys that are now here in the ring. So take a listen to it. It's a couple minutes and we'll be right back.
Cut the music. Now, Eric Bischoff may have made the main event at SummerSlam, Triple H versus Goldberg. No disqualification for the world title. Now, I can't change that match, but I can damn sure add to it.
Uh-oh.
So this year at SummerSlam, your main event will be Triple H versus Goldberg. No disqualification. World title. But also in this same match will be Chris Jericho.
What?
Kevin Nash.
What?
Randy Orton.
What?
And Shawn Michaels.
What? How? What are you talking
because
about?
The main event, the world title, will be defended at SummerSlam in an Elimination Chamber.
Oh my God, it's Elimination Chamber!
Now beat the hell out of each other.
Wait a minute, did you hear that, Coach?
I heard it, but I still can't believe it.
Well, he was...
Oh, a spear! Spear by Goldberg! And Flair is down!
Elimination Chamber match now at SummerSlam!
Okay, so Austin mentions how Eric Bischoff made the main event for SummerSlam. Triple H versus Goldberg, no DQ, for the world title. Austin says he can't change that match, but he can damn sure add to it. So he goes on to say, this year at SummerSlam, your main event will be Triple H versus Goldberg, no disqualification, world title, but also in the same match will be Chris Jericho, Kevin Nash, Randy Orton, and Shawn Michaels, because the main event, the world title, will be defended at SummerSlam in an elimination chamber. Now beat the hell out of each other. So everyone starts fighting again. Triple H grabs the title. He's now pissed because these were unforeseen changes that he didn't expect. So now it's not just him against Goldberg with the help of Evolution in a no DQ match. Now he's defending against everybody. He's defending against Jericho, Nash, Orton, Shawn Michaels in the fucking elimination chamber. So he's fucking pissed off. And the deal he made with Bischoff, he is basically done. Austin just ruined it. So for Eric, that's going to be a problem too, because Eric was trying to get some help for tonight, and Austin just fucking poo-pooed all over his plan by changing the main event at SummerSlam. So good move there by Stone Cold to fuck with them some more. I like it. And the match doesn't seem that bad either. Elimination Chamber, main event, SummerSlam. That's pretty cool. It's still early enough where there wasn't many of those yet. So cool shit. All right, so now we go backstage. Eric Bischoff wants to see if he's still getting that help from Evolution later tonight. So Triple H and Randy Orton, they're checking on Ric Flair backstage with the athletic trainer after his match that he had with Goldberg. Bischoff comes running in to check on Flair. Bischoff's all frantic again. He wants Triple H to reassure him that they still have the deal. We still have a deal, right? We still have a deal. You know, to be in his corner, be my corner tonight. And Triple H is pissed because the Elimination Chamber match got changed, or became an Elimination Chamber match. But Triple H tells Eric that, you know, we still have a deal, but only if Eric can overturn Austin's decision of the Elimination Chamber. And Eric says he can't do anything about it. He can't change Austin's decision on that. Triple H tells Eric that he's on his own then. Since you can't help, you're on your own. That's fair enough, right? We had a deal. The deal got blown up.
Yeah, there's no deal now.
Now so. There's no deal.
Yeah.
Can't help
go our separate ways.
Yep. So Eric's upset. But a moment later, again, just like in the beginning of the episode, he has an idea. It's like a light bulb went off in his head. Ding! So this light bulb goes off. He has an idea. Eric leaves the room, and he's very determined. He's on a mission now. A little later backstage, we get Shane McMahon, and Shane wants to get to Kane. So Kane's back in his van, backstage, sitting in the back of the van, and Shane's yelling and screaming. And it doesn't even sound like he's saying words. It just sounds like, hi-yo, 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 hi-yo. Like, there's no words coming out. And he runs at the van. The security team pulls Shane away. Minutes later, Eric Bischoff comes yelling about Shane McMahon attacking the officers. He's saying, oh, Shane McMahon's attacking officers. You know, you need to go help. You need to go help over there. Go over there. So he's telling security to get away from the van and go help the other officers that are getting attacked by Shane. So the officers run off. And then Eric pulls out a key. He has keys. And he goes to unlock the back of the police van to presumably release the monster Kane. Where to get these fucking keys from? Why does he have keys to the van? And who'd he get them from? Did he pull like some magic trick when he was talking to the security? Go over there. And like take it from the behind him. You know, like in a fucking, I don't know, like a cartoon. A fucking like Three Stooges segment or something. So anyway, Bischoff has the keys and his plan is to release Kane. So basically he's like, I'm going to get out of this match because I'm just going to release Kane and let this fucking night go to hell. Essentially, is what his plan is. So, we get to the match. It's the main event. Eric Bischoff versus Shane McMahon. Backstage, Eric Bischoff's all smiles. We see that the police van door is open. Kane is not there. Eric comes to the ring. He's got his karate sparring pad. Eric calls a production guy to get into the ring, hold up the pad. Eric shows off some karate kicks, and they're all pretty damn good.
Yeah, he knows. He's good at karate.
Yeah, he is good. So Shane's music hits. He heads out. Both guys are just wearing their street clothes. They fight for about a minute. Kane's music hits. It's funny, though. Like, Kane has escaped, but production crew's like, we got to play your music still. You ain't going out there until we play your music, even though you're supposed to be arrested right now.
Yeah.
Like the production crew's backstage are like, oh, there's Kane. Let's play his music.
That's what I felt before when they brought him out, all chained and shit. It's like, dude, he's still... The fuck? Like, why are you playing his music? It's like you're almost celebrating him.
You're right. So Kane does come. He comes to the ring. He's got his little towel on his head. And Shane goes right for Kane. He goes right after him. He legit punches him in the mouth, I think. I watched it a couple times. And it looks like he gets him, like, legit. And Shane is pretty, like, wild with his punches. And he's known for that, too. Being stiff and wild with the punches. Probably figures he's Shane McMahon. Nobody can do shit about it. So Shane throws his little rabbit punches like he always does. And chokes Kane with an electrical cord. Kane boots Shane, slams him into the ring post. Kane moves the steel steps and tombstones Shane on the bottom section of the steel step. Pretty cool. Kane then tosses Shane into the ring. Eric covers Shane. Earl makes the three count. And Bischoff wins. So fucking Kane came down, fucked up Shane for Eric Bischoff, unintentionally. And Eric Bischoff was able to get the three count and win the match. So Eric's all excited. He starts doing karate moves in the ring, like to celebrate. So he's celebrating like a goof. He's got a bloody nose, too. And he did, like, nothing in the match. But Shane must have stiffed him with one legit punch, causing a bloody nose. So he's got the bloody nose. He got the win. And he's going to force Earl Hebner to raise his hand, like, four times. Do it again. Raise my hand. So Eric covers Shane again. He makes Earl count to three another time. So he's all fucking jacked up. And he looks like such a good swarmy little heel here. You know? And now Kane just walks off again. So Eric Bischoff's all excited. Kane got at Shane McMahon, walked off. Who knows where he went? We don't know where he went. What do you go? Back in the police van? Like, let me just go back to where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, this is where I belong now. You guys can bring me back.
He's just like, okay, my work is done here. I gotta go. It's just like the end of that first episode that I covered. He just leaves. Like, and then he's back the next week. Like, oh, we got Kane. You traveled him, you know, across the country. You gotta bring this guy everywhere. Well, anyway, that's Kane. Kane, he has to make a living, so he has to go to these shows. Here he is. He comes out. Fucks up Shane McMahon and inadvertently helps out Eric Bischoff. And that's going to wrap up our story this week of Stone Cold Steve Austin being the GM. And he can no longer touch anybody. And we got this monster Kane on the loose. So I don't know how long Austin's going to be able to keep his hands off of somebody like Kane. Because Austin's not one to not want to be able to have control over what's going on. So this is going to be tearing Austin apart, I'm sure. So I'm sure on the next episode, episode 133, where we are covering the final two Raws leading to SummerSlam, and SummerSlam, we'll also cover SummerSlam on the next episode. So we'll see what happens there and how Austin's going to handle Eric Bischoff being a fucking maniac and releasing Kane and just the continuation of Kane being this crazy monster. So that'll be it. That'll be next week. JV, anything else before we wrap things up here this week?
No, nope.
All right, so we'll take a quick little break, take a listen to Alex and Travis from Talking Taker, plug their show, and then we'll be right back with the bottom line wrap-up.
Dead Man Walking.
Hey, Bottom Line Wrestling Cast. This is Alex Dorio.
And this is Travis White.
And we are the co-hosts of the Talking Taker podcast. You have heard us advertised by Mike and JV on the show every single week. And now that we have come to the end of our encyclopedic exploration, digging up the dead man after 187 episodes, 3.5 years, we just want to send a big, big thank you to Mike and JV and to all of you guys for listening and supporting the show after all this time.
Yeah, we thank you guys so much. Thanks for the support from your, Mike and JV and all of their fans. And as always, take her easy.
I'll get the gods, the drugs from my generation. I'll take the fall, the saints, and across the nation. And it's a sin. The gods, the fiends, the fraud, the messer with me. Come on, come on, come on. Let's get it out.
Move to the music, play that fucking music.
All right, we're back now for the bottom line wrap-up. And we'll start first. We'll see if we have any oh hell yeah moments of the week.
Oh, hell yeah.
JV, you got an oh hell yeah moment of the week?
Yeah, you know I do. I'm going to say the return of Vince McMahon.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, mine's close to that one. I thought you were going to say what I said. What I was going to say. So you got the return of Vince McMahon. I got the return of Shane McMahon. The McMahon family coming back. It always spices things up. You know? McMahon coming back. Well, Mr. McMahon coming back always is an instant shock. Like, all right, something important is going to happen soon. And that probably something important happening was Shane McMahon returning. So it all kind of ties together. And, you know, that's going to change the story from this point, like I said earlier, is now we're going to have the focus kind of off of Austin being the direct confrontation with Kane, or the confrontational figure with Kane, and now have Shane as that figure, because Shane is actually somebody that could have a match that they can advertise, whereas they know they can't do that with Austin. And they don't want to... I feel like WWE is smart to do it as quick as they did, because they don't want to tease the audience who might think that Austin can still wrestle when they know that they would just be, you know, playing, you know, fucking around with everybody, basically, if they continue this any longer, making you think that it was going to be Austin versus Kane at SummerSlam
it would have been worse.
Right. People would have been pissed.
Pissed, yep.
Yeah. So it was smart to switch over to Shane right away so they could build for a few weeks. Well, actually, he's not even going to face him at SummerSlam, so that's not even an issue yet, because he's going to face RVD. But soon, he'll get the Shane, so it's good that they have time to build up to their match that they'll have down the road. Now, there is something that happens between Kane and Shane McMahon, and I'm not even going to wait, because it's just funny. I want to say it now. It'll happen within the next couple of episodes. We'll cover it. But I just remember this from when I watched this whole shit not too long ago, a couple years ago. Kane is going to electrocute Shane McMahon's balls.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, man. I can't wait to get to that one. That's fucking funny.
That's going to be funny.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. So there's a lot more to come with this. So that'll be fun. All right. So that's our oh, hell yeah moment of the week. Got any oh, hell no moment of the week?
Oh, hell no!
Oh, hell no.
It's a tough one. Because there were some really bad moments, but it's hard to kind of cut them out. Because I don't want to make it seem like I'm shitting on, like, the whole segment. But yeah. Just some of the interactions with the security officers was kind of shitty.
Yeah, there's a lot of shitty acting.
writing. All the acting.
Yeah, and it probably comes from bad writing. More right. So. Because you're not dealing with professionals anyway. Just fucking extras, so you can't expect good acting, but if you have some decent writing, it can kind of cover bad acting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the lines just make sense, then how can you fuck them up, you know? So yeah, I agree with that one. My oh hell no moment of the week, I'm gonna go with, you know, the moment when in the first episode that we covered this week, we're at the end. So that was, this would be Raw 530 from July 21st, 2003. At the end of the episode, when Kane comes down, he has his match with RVD. He just fucking disappears. You know, all the police officers don't do shit. You know, that's a hell no to me. He's able to have this match with RVD, and then he goes on to fuck up all like the referees and officials, Arn Anderson and John Laurinaitis, and it was like a whole big to-do at the beginning of the match to unlock all the shackles and have all these police escorts around him, but then just moments later, they're all gone, and they're not there to stop their fucking client, basically. Like, that's their job, is to watch Kane. So if he gets out of hand, you fucking put him back in custody. So he gets totally out of hand, and they're gone. You know, where the fuck did they go? It was only like a 3-minute match, too. They disappeared on his ass. That was oh hell no to me.
I agree.
All right, so that's our oh hell yeah and oh hell no moments of the week. And before we get out of here, let's plug our pals. Like you just heard, Talking Taker, and on their latest episode. They're doing monthly episodes at this point, and at the beginning of every month. So when we last left you guys was right before Halloween, and on Halloween they released their latest episode. It was episode 193, Escape the Undertaker. So they had a special episode where they went through the different scenarios of the Undertaker and New Day's Netflix movie, where it's, you know, interactive Netflix film where you make your selections and your choices. So they had a special guest on and just went through the different scenarios and how it played out for all of them. So it was a fun episode to take a listen to. And, you know, if you're going to listen to the episode, might as well go to Netflix and try to escape the Undertaker's mansion. I finally did it, and I escaped one shot and got out of there. No problem. Easy peasy. And, I only did it once. I didn't want to do it more than that because I didn't want to take up too much time. But it is pretty quick. It only takes like 20, 25 minutes to get through it. But yeah, it's corny. It's funny. You know, funny at times. It's like totally corny, like cheesy as fuck. But it's worth checking out if you like The Undertaker. And if you like The Undertaker, then you got to check out Talking Taker with Alex Dorio and Travis White. They've covered the entire career of The Undertaker. So check out their archives and then always be ready for their monthly episode, which generally comes out the first of the month, with the exception of this past one because they wanted to release it on Halloween. So that made sense. All right, so follow them on Twitter, at Talking Taker. Also check out Booking the Territory, the unprofessional wrestling podcast with Mike Mills, Hardbody Hopper, and Doc Turner, as they are breaking down NWA World Championship Wrestling, starting back in 1985 to the point where they are now, June 16th, 1990. So their latest episode, their episodes come out every Thursday night. This past week, was June 16th, 1990. So check that out. It's Booking the Territory. Also check out Our Vantage Point, the retro wrestling podcast with Joe Morata and Michael Quinn. This week's episode was episode 246, in their opening segment, Anywhere But New York, which is a segment that's based on things that worked outside of WWF, but in the WWF didn't work out so well. And this week's topic is Jim Cornette, which that one definitely makes sense because Jim Cornette was not that special in WWF, but everywhere else, pretty damn good. All right, and their Royal Flush. It's week three of the Royal Flush, and their flush topic this season is the worst WWE pay-per-views. And the two that get drawn for them to rank are In Your House from October 95. In Your House, The Great North, which was retcon named that Great North. It was just In Your House at the time. I think it's In Your House number 4. It's a shitty one, obviously, and that's why it's on the list. This is the one where Shawn Michaels has to give up his title. He gives it to Dean Douglas. Dean Douglas has the title for like 10 minutes and loses to Razor Ramon. So that one gets covered. And also Survivor Series 93. That one is in our area, in Boston, Massachusetts, and it sucked ass. you had the Hearts, the Hart family. The only good thing was Owen Hart you know, the Owen Hart and Bret Hart story had a good little segment there where Bret teamed up with his brothers and Owen Hart got all pissed off because they won and he was eliminated. So, so he was all bitter. And then also in their last segment, they're going to review, as they always do, in this, they're going to review an episode of ECW. This week is ECW. They're going to review June 10th, 1997. So check out Our Vantage Point, the Retro Wrestling Podcast. And also check out JV and I on the Extreme ECW Livecast, which is available on the Book in the Territory Patreon $5 tier. So patreon.com/bookintheterritory. Sign up for the $5 tier for a month. Then you get access to all the additional content from Book in the Territory, but then also JV and I's second show, the Extreme ECW Livecast. And our latest episode was episode of ECW Hardcore TV 103 and 104 from April 11th and April 18th, 1995. On that show, JV and I do live watch-along style of two episodes of ECW Hardcore TV. Started all the way back in April of 93. Now we are in April of 1995. So 2 years at it. We've covered every episode of ECW Hardcore TV through that span of time. And on our upcoming episode, it's going to be a Supercard special. Be our 10th Supercard special, and it's Hostile City Showdown 1995. So that'll be coming up within the next week. So sign up, patreon.com/bookintheterritory. And also, we have a bunch of free episodes that we've posted here on the Bottom Line Wrestling Cast feed. So just scroll down in the podcast feed, and you'll find some Extreme ECW Livecast episodes to try out. So check that out. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Sorry we were on this hiatus, but had to worry about my health, and we should be good to go from now on. I got through this, and
you made it.
I made it. I feel like I have energy to keep going, but it'll be nice when I stop, because then I'll probably be fucking hit. Like, oh fuck, I'm tired.
Yeah. You don't want to overwork yourself, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, guys. So thanks for listening, and thanks for bearing with us. And we'll be back on track. We'll be back next week with episode 133, and we'll be getting to SummerSlam 2003. All right, JV, any final words before we head on out of here? All right, guys, thanks for listening. And again, we'll be back next week. So long.
And that's the bottom line. And as far as I'm concerned, this shit's over with, so get the hell out of here.